Welcome to the Context Machine, episode 673. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. Hey, we have a website. You can check us out there. As Brian likes to point out, you can check us out online, contextmachine.io.
Man, I'm old. You can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us or to or find us or you can find us on Mastodon. I'm gonna get this down. I'm any day now. But you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine or Blue Sky at contextmachine.bluesky.social.
Awesome. Speaking of awesome, Brian, today our show sponsored by Incogni.
That is cool. I'm actually looking forward to talking about them. That's good news. Oh, and we'll do that later in the show.
Yes, we will.
Right. I'm going to get these show notes down here any day now.
I believe in you.
All right. Well, we do have a lot to talk about today, so let's hop into it. I wanted to start with bookshop.org, primarily because it does give me another chance to talk about my book, because my book is now available at bookshop.org.
Bookshop.org? Brian, I've never heard of that. What is bookshop.org?
Okay, I'm glad you asked. Bookshop.org is a place online, because I'm old, where you can buy books. That is not Amazon. That is not owned by Jeff Bezos. That is not owned by a billionaire, in fact. In fact, I'm saying fact a lot, but they're a B Corp, which basically you have to like do stuff with your money to be a B Corp. They give a lot of their profits to independent bookstores. So when you, as a reader, go and buy a book from bookshop.org, 10% of your purchase price gets sent to a local independent bookseller that you have designated. And if you do not designate your own specific local retailer to benefit from this, that 10% instead gets added to a pool that then gets evenly divided amongst all of their participating retailers.
All right. So that's cool.
And if you're an independent bookseller, an independent book retailer that doesn't have their own online store, they can use essentially affiliate links and get 30% of the price. So in other words, if someone goes to, you know, myindependentbookstore.com, you know, just I'm making up that URL, hopefully, and they see a book and they buy it, and that store has used bookshop.org's infrastructure, that bookshop will get 30% of the purchase price, which is all of the profit margin from bookshop.org. They're only keeping some for actually handling the purchase.
So that's actually really cool. And that seems like a cool way for indie bookshops that just can't afford the overhead to do their own online orders and shipping, to be able to still do online orders and shipping.
Right. And I don't know how big that business is for this company. The thing that really excites me is that 10% of each book purchase is given to either your local bookstore or, you know, is being shared amongst all the local bookstores. They have to date raised $36 million for local bookstores.
That's fracking awesome.
Yes.
I do have a problem with this, though, Brian.
Yeah.
And what an awful problem to have. So when I went to select what shop I want to support that's local.
Did you register?
Yeah. But I haven't, I still haven't picked my bookstore yet because right. I'm torn. I mean, like Boulder Bookstore, holy crap. What an amazing indie bookstore. But then right down the street from that, Trident Booksellers. So these are both in Boulder and, both amazing, wonderful places. But then there's also the small indie bookstore in Longmont, Barbed Wire. So, you know, what do I choose?
I would go with the small guy, because that's just how I'm wired.
Yeah, but still, I mean, these are all places I support and love. Boulder Bookstore, though, always will have a special place in my heart because holy crap, what a
fair.
Great place.
You could change it periodically.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
You could even change it every time you go to buy books. You could say, you know, you could designate one bookstore, and the next time you go to buy books, you could designate it another one. You'd have to change your designation, obviously.
Yeah, but I mean, that's okay.
So the nifty thing is that they have heretofore dealt exclusively with printed books, primarily trad published printed books, traditionally published printed books. They have also allowed independent authors who have published their books through Ingram Spark. If you know anything about Ingram, you probably already know that Ingram Spark has good and bad aspects of it because it's Ingram. Mm-hmm. But anyway, if you as an author have independently published your book through Ingram Spark, it was also available through bookshop.org. They just recently added ebooks. So you can buy ebooks for your reading platform of choice, be it Kindle, Apple Books, Nook, Kobo, whatever. You can download, you can buy an ebook from bookshop.org and then add it to your reader as your heart sees fit.
All right, that's cool. And I see that they have their own apps too. So,
oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
So you can, yeah. So you can buy your ebooks and then just read them directly through the bookshop.org app for iOS or Android.
Right, but you could also add it to Apple Books.
Mm-hmm.
You could add
or
it.
Or if you're using any other ebook reader, right. I'm assuming you could just add it.
Right. So because bookshop.org just rolled out their ebook program, that made me put accidental intelligence through Ingram Spark. I wasn't on Ingram Spark before, and I noticed that my hardback doesn't have a cover on the bookshop.org website. That's super fun. But anyway, the point is that bookshop.org is a fantastic alternative to buying from Amazon in particular.
Yeah, this is cool. And I like that when you go in and choose whatever bookstore you want to support, you get a blurb about the bookstore.
Right. Good. Yes. That is good. I just got a text message. I was confused. And my local bookstore isn't participating, which is kind of a bummer. I'm going to go by and talk to them about that because they should be participating. They've been around for a long time. They're great.
Yeah, they should.
Oh, you know what? They're mostly a half-priced bookstore. I'm wondering if that's the issue.
Oh, yeah, could be. Well, regardless, I love the idea of being able to buy from a place that supports local indie bookstores.
Yes. Yeah, it's a good thing. And I've particularly been on a bit of a crusade about Amazon largely being the bad guys, and they're bad for readers and bad for authors alike. Bad for publishers. They're bad for everybody but Amazon. And having an alternative to Amazon, of course, my books are still available on Amazon. I'm pointing that out to note my hypocrisy, but I like being able to support other platforms as an author and a reader.
I understand your hypocrisy here. Wanting to support alternate purchase pathways totally makes sense. But at the same time, you need to make sure that your book is available all the places that you know people are going to look.
Right.
So,
and I do
you kind of have to be there on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
I do sell. I just sold my 500th copy of Accidental Intelligence, by the way.
That's freaking awesome.
That's a fun little milestone. I think 2/3 of my AI sales have been through Amazon, but only half of my, if you count my free short story, only half of my sales have been through Amazon. So I love that ratio, and I'm always looking to do anything I can to boost it.
That sounds awesome.
All right. So I don't know. Do you want to talk about the Mac Studio?
Yeah. I guess Apple made a new model today. So, you know, yay.
Yeah. That was very nice of them, because we had already planned on recording today.
Right. So, yeah, there's that. You know, I'm pretty sure they changed the announcement date to accommodate us, which totally makes sense.
That does check out.
So you have a Mac Studio already, not the new one because it's only just now available, but you have the first one.
I'm slumming it because they updated it in 2023 and I've got a 2022 one. I mean, like,
I'm actually kind of embarrassed to be on a show with you now.
You know, fun fact, I went through and checked the trade-in price for my Mac Studio.
Mm-hmm.
It was the top of the line Mac Studio in 2022. It has 20 cores. It's got I think 60 graphics cores, and it has 128 gigs of memory and two terabytes of SSD storage. And Apple was offering me $1,200 for it. I think I paid more than that for the hard drive upgrade from 512 to 2 terabytes. 512 gigs to 2 terabytes.
Ouch. Ouch.
I feel like there's going to be enough of a delta between what I can sell this for privately, that I will, when I do end up upgrading and buying a new Mac Studio, that I will do that and not trade it in. But anyway, that's beside the point.
Well, to be fair, your first gen Mac Studio is still a crazy beast.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's actually the thing that makes me surprised that they're only offering a $1,200 trade-in on it, because I feel like they could probably still sell it for $3,000. I haven't looked up their pricing on refurb models. But anyway, that's also beside the point. The point is that Apple has introduced a new Mac Studio with an M4 Max processor and an M3 Ultra option.
So that totally makes sense. So if you want to do like it, you want to get in middle of the road, here's our new powerful machine, you get the M3 Ultra. But if you want to go top of the line, you go for an M4 Max, right?
Other way around.
Right. I know.
Well, I mean, really, I get what you're saying because, you know, M4
is about to be an Apple apologist in a situation where you shouldn't. But go ahead, please.
No, I'm cranky about this. I'm actually trying to analyze this logically. Your sentiment that it doesn't make sense for the M4 processor to be the middle of the road, the entry level processor, and the M3 to be the high end processor, that makes sense. But if you're instead you're looking at the Max and Ultra designations, then that makes sense for the way they did it. But I wish that they had been able to roll this thing out with an M4 Ultra processor, in that I felt that the M4 base processor was a significant improvement over the M3 base processor. Now, I also realize that the Max and Ultra designations make that comparison not as direct, but I still wish. Actually, I guess I could put this selfishly, this narcissistically, this self-centeredly. Mm-hmm. In that I want to update my Mac Studio, I would rather update to an M4 Ultra than an M3 Ultra. That's it. That's all I'm saying. That's all I want.
All right. So I want you to speculate for me. One of the things in Apple's press release talks about how with the Mac Studio, Thunderbolt 5, and everything that it has, you can throw an expansion chassis onto this. So for those of you that don't know, that'd be like an expansion card, set of expansion card slots in a box that plugs into your computer through the Thunderbolt 5 connection. And so you get expansion slots if you need them.
Are they selling this device?
As far as I know, no.
Are third party selling this device, or is this something that's coming?
You know, that would have involved me doing research to see if these expansion boxes exist yet. They probably already do.
That's fair. Let's just go with that. We don't know. We haven't checked. We haven't done any due diligence, but let's just say so.
I'm fine rolling with that. But here's the thing. So this is the computer that Apple is touting as their most powerful Mac ever. You can now plug in an expansion chassis. Do you think Apple is going to drop the Mac Pro line? And this now replaces that completely.
I don't know. I was kind of surprised at the recent Mac Pro update. That when they did update the Mac Pro, when was that?
It's more than a year ago, because it has an M2 Ultra.
No, the most recent update to the MacBook Pro. No. I want Mac Pro.
Mac Pro, M2 Ultra.
Yeah, you're right. It's the M2 Ultra. I don't know. They could be doing that, especially if the Mac Pro isn't selling well. I hope that's not the case. because I've always thought it important that Apple have a pro device.
The Studio is, well, it's technically a pro device, just not in name.
The Studio is absolutely a pro device for the vast majority of users, but there are people who need what the pro form factor has. And I hope that Apple continues to service those customers.
Well, yeah, but see, that's what I'm wondering. Calling out that you can do an expansion chassis with this, is that Apple saying, hey, this is how we're going to service our pro customers,
right?
Mac pro customers.
I don't think that the Mac Studio can possibly serve the needs of the people who need the Mac Pro form factor.
And I'm with you. There's a lot about the Mac Pro form factor that make it a necessary computer for a lot of uses, regardless of the fact that a Mac Studio has a processor that just blows it out of the water.
Right. Well, does it though?
Yeah. An M4 Max, that way outperforms an M2 Ultra. And then look at the RAM that you can put in it. It's, let's see, max RAM on, let's see.
Trying to find it.
Oh, actually, max RAM on a Mac Pro is 192 gig, and Mac Studio is 512 gig, looks like.
And the Mac Studio, yes, the Mac Studio is in fact 512. So, but this could be saying to us that the next Mac Pro update will be bonkers.
That's a possibility too. And maybe that's where the M4 Ultra comes in.
Yeah, the Mac Studio starts at 96 and then has a 256 gig memory option and then a 512 gig option. Mm-hmm. Which is a lot of RAM for an Apple device.
Mm-hmm. Look at that, up to a 16 terabyte SSD. You can buy 16 terabytes of SSD storage or a house, you choose.
It's only $4,600 more for that.
Only $4,600. Actually, that's better than I expected it would be from Apple.
That's fair. All right. So, nonetheless, despite our essentially seeming like we're bagging on this thing, it's an impressive update. And
it's a super cool computer.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And it is a significant update from the previous Mac Studio, let alone the original one that I have.
Yeah. This is a very awesome machine. I mean, if one of these showed up in the mail just out of the blue, mm-hmm.
You'd be all right with that.
I'd be okay with that.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Oh, that's interesting. Mac Studio helps pros. I'm reading from their press release. Helps pros push the boundaries of what they can do. And Apple Intelligence elevates those experiences even further. Writing is even more dynamic with writing tools, which can help users rewrite, proofread, or summarize, whether they are responding to emails or using summarization to draft an abstract in seconds in apps like Scrivener. I'm fascinated by that. I use Scrivener as an author. I'm not expecting to see Scrivener being touted as a use case in an Apple press release.
Yeah, the Scrivener part, I find that interesting. I hadn't noticed that. When they get to their whole thing about, and here's what you can do with Apple Intelligence, I typically just kind of gloss over that because it's usually just boilerplate stuff. But wow, yeah, I'd miss seeing Scrivener in there.
Right. I literally saw it seconds before I mentioned it. So, all right. Anyway, Mac Studio is updated. M4 Max, M3 Ultra. The M3 Ultra is probably the way to go if you can afford it. And the M4 Max is also an awesome processor.
The M4 Max is still bonkers powerful.
I'm wondering how much RAM you can get on that one. I've only looked at the M3 Ultra. The M4 Max, you can go 36. Oh, you can go up to... Okay, you can go up to 128 gigs of memory with the M4 Max.
Okay.
For $1,000? It's $1,000 extra, and that's when you have to also get the beefier M4 Max processor to be able to do that. So it's $1,000 to update to 128 gigs of memory. It is $1,600 to upgrade to 256 gigs of memory when you're getting the M3 Ultra. So, whatever that's worth.
So that's a serious credit card commitment either way.
It is, but I'm kind of surprised that the 256 gig option is only $1,600 more.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's because it's 256 gigs up from 96, whereas the 128 is up from 36.
Ah, okay.
So that would explain that delta. All right. Did you want to say anything else about the studio?
Yes. I'm sure a lot of people will complain about the costs. Keep in mind, this is a professional machine, even though it doesn't say pro in the name. This is not targeting casual or I'd say even mid-level Mac users. This is a top-of-the-line machine.
Yeah, it is.
And you're going to pay for that.
Yep. But if you're playing Civilization 7,
And that's what really matters.
Actually, Civilization 7 performs perfectly fine on my M1 Ultra. And I'm
running. Does it really?
Yeah, it really does. And I hate saying that because I would, love to need to upgrade it so I could make this game playable. The thing with Civilization 7 is they have done something clever with the turns. By which I mean, the thing that would always take time with earlier versions of Civilization 7 is when you press the end your turn button, especially in the late stages of the game, it would sometimes take because I'd always play with huge maps and a bunch of enemies, and it would sometimes take many minutes, 5 to 7 minutes for each turn. And that was on my M1 Ultra.
Wow.
Now it seems like they let you move while they're still doing stuff in the background. So each push of the button literally takes a few seconds. So,
okay, now I'm seeing why you need to order an M3 Ultra Mac Studio.
Yeah, I don't need it. I don't need it except
except
The memory issue. So I have 128 gigs of RAM, and I routinely have problems with my browsers. I've got three browsers open.
How much?
And I've got tons and tons of tabs open for sure. But I have problems with, like, so right now, of my 128 gigs, 103 is being used.
Browsers, like nature, abhor a vacuum. And if there is memory available,
yeah,
regardless of what you have open in your browsers,
yeah,
they will find a way to eat all of that memory.
Yes. Yes, that is true. So I need to get at least 256 gigs of memory.
Right, because your browsers are hungry.
I don't think I'll be updating anytime soon. Right. Let's talk about Incogni.
I would love that.
Well, Incogni is a service that helps protect your personal data from data brokers. Now, data brokers collect, aggregate, and sell your data. That their entire business model is to find out anything and everything they can about you, and then to sell it to any and all comers. That includes marketers and police forces and governments and sometimes outright criminals. So yay. The issues arising from this include increased spam, identity theft, and loss of control over your personal information. All of these things are exacerbated by the frequent data breaches reported annually. And Incogni addresses these problems by doing three things. One, they will contact data brokers on your behalf to request the removal of your personal data. They will handle any objections from those data brokers for you. They handle it for you. Continuously monitor and ensure your data stays off the market with repeated removal requests. That's what they do. Now, they gave me an account to test with.
Uh-huh.
And I was surprised at how easy it was to get started. I literally set it in, gave them a very little information about who I am, gave them permission to act on my behalf. And within minutes, I had a confirmation of a data removal request from swordfish.ai. Within minutes.
That's pretty impressive. And from what I understand, it's like two steps to get set up. And then minutes later, you've got that feedback saying, here we go. Stuff's getting blocked.
Yep, which is fantastic. Now, there are two particular use cases that I find very interesting. One is robocalls. The people that call you with the robocalls, the marketers, the spam risk, that's how it shows up on my iPhone. This is spam risk. Mm-hmm. They're getting your information from data brokers. And if I get a ton of robocalls, and I'm really hoping that those start to go away now. But the data brokers often sell your phone number to companies that build these call lists, and that sucks. And scammers, you know, the scammers who can use AI to mimic the voices of your friends and family to trick them into sending them money, they're often building their models of you on data from data brokers. So that's two key ways that this company can help protect yourself, help protect your information. And I really love that. So you can take your personal data back with Incogni. You can use context. You can use the code context at incogni.com/context and get 60% off with an annual plan. That's incogni.com/context. Use the code context. And we are happy as can be to have them sponsoring us. We're happy as can be to tell you about them and would like it if you check them out.
Yeah. Thank you, Incogni.
Yes. Thank you very much, Incogni. All right. Let's move on to the iPad Air and I guess the iPad.
You know, saying it that way totally makes sense because that's kind of how Apple did it as well.
I feel like I was channeling my Apple marketing person because the updated iPad was not mentioned in the title of the press release and was just kind of thrown in at the bottom of the press release for the iPad Air.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, the iPad Air new model has an M3 processor in it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that Apple has the usual specs about 2 times faster than an M1 or 3.5 faster than the A14 and all of that. It works with the Apple Pencil Pro.
Not the Apple Pencil 2.
Correct. Or you can also use the USB-C Apple Pencil, which, by the way, I recommend no one get the USB-C Apple Pencil ever. It's kind of a crap product. Apple should be embarrassed for selling it.
Do we need to talk about that? Maybe like the next show?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. We'll talk about Apple Pencil USB crap. The C stands for crap in that one. They rolled out the new models and starting price for the 11-inch is $599 and $799 for the 13-inch.
Okay.
And I've forgot what they cost before. So I can't remember if the price changed or if it stayed the same.
It's
probably close. Might be a little bit higher. I can't remember. But they also released a new Magic Keyboard just for the M3 iPad Air.
That is interesting. It looks good. I mean it looks fine. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way.
I totally get what you're saying. My take on this iPad Air and the M series iPad Air it replaces is for the vast majority of people, if you want to get a new iPad, iPad Air is the best bang for your buck. That's the one to look at.
Right. I was talking with a friend who just today asked me which he should get, an iPad Pro with the M4 or the iPad Air with the M3. And basically, I came down on if you're going to do frequent video production, particularly any video with any kind of FX, or if you're doing lots of art, especially if you're using an Apple Pencil, then you should probably get the Pro. Otherwise, you're going to be freaking happy with the Air. It's going to be great. What do you think?
I think that's reasonable advice. Yeah. Depending on what you're doing for video editing, the M4 Air is probably more than enough.
Yeah, right. That's absolutely true. And it's the M3 Air, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you. M3 Air.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be... The Air is a great device, and it is a powerful device, and it is a good device. If you have stringent video needs or art needs, get the Pro, and otherwise everyone else get the Air.
There you go. I think that's a fair statement. Yeah. So, all right. Well, then we should briefly mention the new entry iPad, or base model iPad.
Right.
Because that's all Apple did too, is briefly mention it. So the new entry-level iPad gets bumped up to an A16 processor. And yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be an A17 at least.
So that it did Apple Intelligence.
Apple Intelligence. Yeah. A16 processor does not support Apple Intelligence.
The Apple, the iPad mini has the A17.
Right.
The current iPad mini. But not, right. Not current. Look, I find it weird that Apple would release a staggered product like this. It seems like it should have the A17.
You would think, but Apple knows their demographics.
Yeah, so that's true.
The targets that I can see for an iPad that doesn't have Apple Intelligence support in it, maybe they're looking at the educational market, and right. Maybe they're looking at parts of the enterprise market where they need to have tablets, but they will never use Apple Intelligence features.
That's fair. And in fact, maybe the ability to the lack of ability to have Apple Intelligence is particularly attractive in education. That's possible. I haven't talked that over with any educators.
I had a discussion about education and Apple Intelligence with Marty Gensius on MacVoices Live, and he was kind of on the fence about why they would make that choice too, because his feeling was, why wouldn't you want to teach students how to use the tools that are going to be part of their life moving forward?
Fair. So, yeah, and with that in mind, I'm back to being shocked that Apple would in 2025 release a new product that doesn't support Apple Intelligence. That seems weird.
Same. But okay, here's a thing that is cool about this model and the iPad Air. Base storage now is 128 gig. So the whole 32, 64 gig thing with iPads, that's gone.
Yeah, that's good, to say the least.
Yeah. So there you go. New All iPads.
Right. New iPads. And then Apple also announced a new MacBook Air.
Right. Okay. Now, here's the funny thing for me. This is the one where you're like, oh, they announced that. And then after we talked about it, you forgot they announced it. Because clearly it means that much to you. So anyhow, the new MacBook Air still comes in, what were the sizes? 13 and 15 inches. Is that right?
No. The Air?
Yeah.
It's 11 and 13, right?
No. You're old. It's 13
and 15. I am. 13. Oh, yeah. Look at that. 13 and 15 inch.
Yeah. How about that?
In my day, MacBook Air was 11 inch. You could get 13 if you were lucky. You're
happy for it. Yeah. Oh, bless your heart, Brian.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
So, how long it's been anyhow. Since Apple actually even had an 11 inch. Okay.
It's been a really long time, Brian.
Okay, let's the 13 and 15 inch. Yeah. I had to go back a ways to.
You had to go way back.
I had to get rid of that. Anyway.
Yeah. Drop the price by $100 for the starting price on each of them.
On both of them. Okay, wow.
Yeah. So $9.99 for the 13-inch to start and $11.99 for the 15-inch to start.
And that's obviously $8.99 for education, $10.99 for education.
Yes, yes. And comes in a blue color now if you want.
Yeah, look at that. It's a light blue.
It's like a sky blue color.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm old enough to remember when Apple computers came in like that steel gray color. It's got into
the back when it was the tie book. We called it the tie book, but it was the titanium.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that like, Brian? Did you have to put coal in your computer to steam power it?
Yeah. Well, that and you had the pedal option too.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. So anyway, M4 iPad Airs, yay. These are going to be great machines for sure.
These aren't iPads, they're MacBook Airs.
No, dang it. You did it earlier. Once again. It's all your fault.
It's clearly all my fault. Nonetheless, bless your heart.
All right. Thanks. And then it comes with the 12 megapixel center stage camera.
More importantly,
yeah,
it can drive two 6K displays external.
Wow.
And you can have the lid open so you can use your laptop display too.
Wow. Wow.
So, I mean, that's a huge change right there.
That's pretty. So Sam, who plays D&D with us, you might have met him.
I might have met him.
Yeah. He could absolutely. He just got a MacBook Pro with an M3 Pro processor.
So he's set.
Yeah, he is set. But he could have absolutely have gotten an Air, today's Air, and been set also.
Yeah. When I bought my 14-inch MacBook Pro, mm-hmm. so it's an M2 Pro. Mm. I was torn between getting that and a MacBook Air, because even at that point, the M series MacBook Airs were just like really powerful. And ultimately it was what I could do with displays and mm-hmm. having the Thunderbolt ports all the way around that made me decide, yeah, I should just go ahead and get the MacBook Pro. But with this new MacBook Air, it makes that decision more difficult if I were having to make that decision today.
Right. What does it do for memory? I know it starts at 16 gigs. What do you have, a 32 gig option?
Yeah, you can load this up with RAM. It starts at 16. Is that right?
Yeah. I just read that.
So, okay. Yeah. I mean, yes, of course. You can do, I think, let's see, up to 32 gig.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. So it seems like it's a good time to be a Mac user.
Yeah. I think it's really cool what they're doing here. And with the role Apple is on over the past several months with new products, it's making me really interested to see what rolls out with the new iPhone models this fall.
That's true. I would be a derelict in my duties, though, if I didn't mention the fact that they didn't do a media event for this. They announced new iPad Airs, a new throwaway iPad, a MacBook Air, and Mac Studio, and they did not do a media event where they could have talked about Apple Intelligence more. You know, I'm surprised that these devices did not warrant a media event, and I'm wondering if it's if it's they didn't want to compete with the political airs that are blowing every which way.
Well, they did the same thing with the iPhone 16e. I've lost track of time a week or two ago. I think this is Apple's new thing.
And not doing media events?
Not only doing media events for stuff like this.
iPhone media events.
Yeah, iPhone media events. And if they do something that's a big change for a product,
This Mac Studio is pretty big. This MacBook Air is also pretty big.
I agree, but they look the same.
iPad Air. Oh, come on,
yeah. Man. I think that Apple's looking at these as product upgrades, not as product redesigns.
Okay, but what about new iPhones has been a redesign?
New iPhones, that's different because that's Apple's core product, and that's the one that regardless of what they do, does require a media event. And so I think they're being more selective about what else gets media events now.
Clearly, that's a true statement. I am surprised that these announcements over the last 2 days did not warrant a media event from Apple's perspective. That is surprising to me.
Yeah, I think it's a new strategy.
Must be.
I don't think this is a one-off thing. I think going forward, we're going to see a lot of product announcements done this way, where they tease, hey, there's going to be some announcement. And then a few days later, we get a couple online videos, press releases, and they didn't need to spend a lot of money on a big media event to get everyone talking about this stuff. So they've got something figured out.
All right. Fair enough. I feel like we are at 52 minutes. I feel like we should go.
I think we have done an excellent job of pretending like we're knowledgeable, articulate, and intelligent podcast hosts. And so we should quit while we're ahead.
Yeah, that preach on. All right, that is this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write to us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for the show. And that's all for the show.
Also, hey, thank you, Incogni, for being our sponsor this week. What was that URL? Incogni.com/context.
Yeah.
Use the discount code context to get 60% off.
Yes. And I'm going to throw in the phrase, take your personal data back with Incogni.
I love that.
Yeah. So thank you very much. And on that note, I'm going to hit this.
We really are top men.